This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. You may not have been aware of this, but Michigan's had quite an eruption this winter. I'm not talking about lava or even an ice volcano, but an eruption spelled with an I. That means that we're talking birds. It's been a great year for winter birding. With us now is Michigan Audubon Education Coordinator Lindsay Kane. Lindsay, welcome.
Thanks for having me, April.
So let's start with the eruption that I was just alluding to. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, so an eruption with birds is when you get northern wintering birds that come down south for the winter because they're not finding enough food. So a lot of the species that exhibit eruptive behavior are birds that would typically overwinter in the boreal forest. And because there isn't a large pine crop this year, there's not a lot of pine cones and a lot of seeds, they're moving to find food for the winter, which is a really great experience for a lot of birders because we're seeing a lot of things that we wouldn't normally see over the winter.
What are some of the birds that we are seeing this year that we might not in a normal year?
So we get a lot of winter finches that will exhibit eruptive behavior. And so this year, we're seeing a lot of purple finch, red poles, pine siskins, evening grosbeak, and actually even red-breasted nuthatch, which is a bird that we see further south during the winter, but we're seeing a lot more of this year.
Lindsay, I don't know if you know, but is there anything that we can point to in this year's climate that might account for the difference in what we're seeing in terms of the bird populations?
Well, I think that one thing to note is this is actually a pretty typical behavior for birds and has been for a long time. Although we are seeing a lot of birds that have changed their wintering grounds and their ranges because of climate change, as we're experiencing more mild winters further south, a lot of our birds that would normally migrate aren't migrating because they don't need to. But the climate can definitely have an impact on our forests and pine cone production and all of that as well. But this is a pretty typical behavior for a lot of our winter finches.
Generally speaking, what does winter birding look like in Michigan? Are there some regional differences?
So there are definitely regional differences if you look at big regions of the state. The UP obviously gets different birds than we're going to get in southern Michigan. And even in the lower peninsula, the northern half gets a little bit different birds than the southern half. But overall, we see pretty similar birding experiences throughout the state. Birding in Michigan during the winter is a great time to start birding, because there are not as many birds, so it's not quite as intimidating, and they're a lot easier to see without all of the leaves, and with those white backdrops, those birds really pop. So it's a really great time to start exploring the birds in your own backyard.
Yeah, it's really hard to miss a cardinal or a finch.
Definitely.
What are some of the best backyard birding starters? I mean, is there anything special? Do you even need a pair of binoculars if you're starting at the hyper-local level?
No, I think that's one of the great parts about birding is that anybody can do it anywhere, right? Birds are all around us and you can find them in your own backyard and especially in the winter, right? Like you said, really easy to see those colors. So one of the most important things, if you really want to see birds up close, is to have a bird feeder. But if you have a bird feeder near your backyard, in your backyard or near you, you can find and start to learn all kinds of different birds without any equipment.
It seems like we've rounded some kind of turn, at least in southeast Michigan, and there are more species sounding off in the mornings. Dare one hope that what we're hearing from birds is a suggestion that spring might be on the way?
I think that is definitely probably what's happening. So there are a lot of birds that are starting to come back up to their breeding grounds. It seems really early to us when we think about it. You look around and there's a lot of snow, but a lot of these birds start to come to their territory early to be able to find a good place. And by mid-March, they might even be starting to build their nests.
What are some of the birds that are easier to identify that we might want to start out looking for if you're new to this?
So one of the best backyard birds that is here all year round, in my opinion, is the black-capped chickadee. And part of the reason is they're really distinctive. They've got a black cap, you know, their head is black, as their name would suggest, and a black bib with these white cheeks. And so there's a big contrast. They're pretty small birds, but they're really charismatic and like to flit around a lot, so they're really entertaining to watch. And so I think that's a really great bird for a lot of people to start looking for, and you can see it all year round, which is really exciting.
They are great fans of those winter bird feeders, that's for sure.
Yes.
I have a crazy thing I want to ask you about. I heard the wildest story recently about crows. Now, I know that when most people are thinking about bird watching, they may not be thinking of crows, but someone I know who lives in a different part of the country talked about feeding crows in her neighborhood and actually seeing a response from them, like they were starting to congregate, and actually seemed kind of protective of her when, like, she was talking to neighbors outdoors. Is that something you've ever heard of before?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a quite common story when you're referring to crows. They're very intelligent birds, and they really have a memory that they keep and pass along to other family members, if you will. And so they learn very well and they remember things. And so it makes them really interesting birds to watch and pay attention to, because you can see trends and a lot of differences and changes, but also a lot of similarities.
So would it be possible, if you were feeding crows in a backyard type environment, that you might cultivate your own private flock, or I guess if I'm being grammatically correct, your own private murder?
I mean, I guess it's definitely possible. The only thing that I would note is that even if you're feeding those crows, there might be better eats somewhere else, and so, or so to speak. So they may not flock to you as much as you would like, but if you've got something good and there's not anything else good around, you could definitely have your own murder of crows.
Are there any species that you'd recommend that birdwatching veterans might be seeking out right now, something a little bit more rare?
Well, I know that if we think about a normal winter, one of the more rare birds that a lot of birders go after is the snowy owl. That's a really exciting bird that we're only going to see in Michigan during the winter, and only if they need to be here. So this winter, actually, there's not as many snowy owls as there have been in the past, but that's a really great bird for a lot of birders to try and find throughout the winter.
What are the best places to look for a snowy owl?
So snowy owls, the best place to go is the UP. And I have been on several trips to the UP in the winter to see snowy owls, and to me, it never gets old. They are sometimes further downstate. I was actually looking at the state map from eBird reports, where birders track the sightings that they've seen. And there have been some seen in the lower part of the Lower Peninsula this year, but the UP is really the best place to be able to see them. There's those open fields for them to be able to hunt, and it's still a lot cooler up there, which is more their cup of tea.
When I think of a snowy owl, is this the same one we might imagine accompanying Harry Potter to Hogwarts?
Exactly.
Nice. Since we are in a Great Lakes state, I'm assuming that winter birding includes at least some kinds of waterfowl. What kinds of ducks and geese are around right now?
Yeah, so this is a great time to be learning your ducks and geese, because as long as there is open water, there are ducks and geese all over the place. So you'll see something as simple as your mallard duck, which is something that I think most of us are familiar with, whether you're a birder or not. But there's also mergansers and sculp. There's some, of course, Canada geese, but also cackling geese in certain places. But waterfowl are really big for a lot of birders during the winter. This is when they go kind of scoop them up so that they can see them for their year.
Lindsay, do you have any personal experiences from this year that really stand out? I've got to believe that it's a time of year when people, maybe because of the pandemic, are just a little bit more attuned to what's going on around them in the natural world. Have you had any particularly notable birding experiences this winter?
So I haven't personally done much birding besides in my backyard. And it's really great because, like I said earlier, winter birding in your backyard can be really fruitful and it can be really exciting. But I know birding is becoming more and more popular with a lot of people, given the last year and how we've had to kind of change our norms. And so there are a lot of great people out there who are learning and growing as birders, which is really great in terms of learning about how we're impacting our environment and some of the best conservation choices that we can be making that will help not only our feathered friends, but also all of us as a result.
You know, when I was researching this topic, I ran across the phrase birding ethics. Can you explain what that means as the Audubon Society defines it?
Yeah, so birding ethics are a really important part of birding, and it's something that I don't think we often pay a lot of attention to. A lot of birders understand birding ethics, and it makes sense when you start thinking about it. It's very logical, but it's often difficult for us to remember when you haven't started to spend a lot of time around birds, but they are creatures that need some space and respect in terms of the environment where we're out hiking and bird watching is their home. And so we have to be careful about interrupting them. And a lot of people think about interrupting them during nesting and breeding season as being the only time of year where it's important, but it's important all year round. Take the snowy owls, for example. They need a lot of space to be able to hunt, and we don't want them to be conditioned to humans. So there are people out there who will think, oh, I want to get a really great photo. Let me put out some mice and draw them in. Well, those lures can be really dangerous to a snowy owl and their survival after that. Not only are you luring them into a place where they may have a collision with a vehicle, but you're also teaching them that humans may offer them food, which is really dangerous to their survival after you're gone.
Well, what are some road rules of birding ethics? I mean, give them some distance to be sure. Don't feed them. Is there anything else that might not occur to the layperson that we should keep in mind if we're going out birding?
Yeah, another really big thing is callbacks or pishing, where you make a lot of noise to kind of get them, kind of flush them out of a secure spot, or play their song on your phone to try and draw them in. That can be really detrimental to them for some of those same reasons I mentioned before. But as we get a little bit closer to that spring, you know, I mentioned mid-March, they might start building their nests. That can really disrupt their whole breeding behavior as well. And it can be really, really problematic.
So meaning to say the birds might hear a call that a human would play back on, you know, phone or some other device and get really excited or stressed out because that's a sign to them that they interpret as it's time to breed. And maybe there isn't a mate around.
Right. It can also flush them off of their breeding territories. Then they're kind of displaced and have to start all over again, which is a huge waste of resources for them. And birds are small animals. They have fat reserves and stores that they utilize for things like migration and breeding, but it takes a lot of energy to get those fat reserves kind of built up and then to replenish them if necessary.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for the tips on this and happy birding this winter.
Thanks.
Lindsay Kane is Education Coordinator for Michigan Audubon.